Avalara provides cloud-based sales tax solutions for businesses of all sizes. Avalara automatically integrates with more than 700 ERP and e-commerce systems, likely the systems you use today. Learn more at avalara.com/WSJ.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, September 14th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. If you're a Facebook user, you've been asked to agree to the company's terms of service, which, among other things, lay out the type of behavior Facebook will accept on its platform, the kind of things you can't post or link to. But Wall Street Journal reporting finds Facebook does not apply these rules equally. High-profile accounts, including celebrities, politicians, and journalists, are shielded from the company's rules, creating invisible tiers and a secret elite, a system that's much different from the equality among users that CEO Mark Zuckerberg has often described. On today's show, our reporter Justin Scheck, who was part of the investigative team on this story, joins us to discuss how this system works, why Facebook designed it, and how it could be abused. That's after these headlines. China is ordering its largest internet companies to stop blocking links to rivals on their apps. The move is part of a wider campaign by Beijing to rein in the power of the tech companies and boost competition in a sector that's dominated by just a handful. An official from China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology said the regulator took the step after receiving multiple complaints from users. Among the companies that were called to a meeting with officials to discuss the issue last week were Tencent and Alibaba, according to people familiar with the matter. Tencent said it supports the government's guidance and will make necessary changes in phases. An Alibaba spokeswoman said it will fully comply with regulatory requirements. The maker of TurboTax, Intuit, reached a deal to buy email marketing company MailChimp for about $12 billion in cash and stock. That makes it Intuit's largest ever acquisition. The deal will also help Intuit expand the services it offers to small businesses, like marketing and customer relationship management. And we've talked on this show before about how firefighters are using AI technology to battle wildfires. But this Moneyball-style strategy is having a hard time keeping up with the fast and unpredictable fires burning in Northern California. The approach uses sports analytics software to model how blazes spread so firefighters can come up with a plan of attack. But WSJ reporter Jim Carlton says the wildfires this year are like never before, and they're testing the limits of even the most advanced algorithms.
The problem is that with climate change, that they've never seen fire behavior the way they're behaving now. For example, on the Caldora fire, which was racing towards South Lake Tahoe, it was spotting a mile in front of the main fire. And by spotting, I mean it was throwing embers way ahead and then starting new fires. That's something the models didn't predict. I mean, the models can't always predict spotting behavior. So the models aren't perfect. It gives them a better tool than they had before. But the fires are definitely teaching the firefighters as they do this.
All right, coming up, social media was meant to be the great democratizer. Everyone's voice has equal weight. So why is Facebook giving some users preferential treatment? We'll discuss after the break.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Plaid. If you're building a fintech app or service, Plaid is the easiest way to get started. With Plaid's API, your users can securely connect their bank accounts to your app in as little as 7 seconds. In fact, 1 in 4 U.S. adults have used Plaid to connect their account to an app that can help them pay back their roommate for last night's pizza, save money on holiday shopping, or take control of their financial future. With just a few lines of code, you can start building with Plaid today. Visit plaid.com/WSJ. Jay to learn more.
Wall Street Journal reporting shows that Facebook has one set of rules for the famous and powerful, and another set for the rest of its users. An internal company program called CrossCheck allows posts by high-profile users that violate Facebook's policies to receive extra layers of review and the potential for special treatment. The program covers pretty much anyone who regularly appears in the media or has a substantial online following, including actors, talk show hosts, academics, and online personalities. Documentation reviewed by the Wall Street Journal shows CrossCheck covered at least 5.8 million users in 2020. The information revealed is part of a WSJ investigative series called The Facebook Files, based on an extensive array of internal Facebook communications reviewed by WSJ reporters and interviews with dozens of current and former employees that show Facebook is aware its platforms are riddled with flaws that cause harm to users, but is often unwilling or unable to address them. Joining us to discuss how this program works and why Facebook set it up is our reporter Justin Scheck. He's part of the Facebook Files investigative team. Hi, Justin.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Justin, let's start off with how this program works. What happens when one of the accounts on Facebook's cross-check list posts something that violates one of Facebook's rules?
Well, in theory, it's supposed to be subject to special review. So if I posted something that was in flagrant violation of the rules, it would get automatically taken down. And if it was in violation of a particularly serious rule, like the rule against revenge porn, which will come up later, my account might be taken down automatically. Whereas people on the cross-check list go to special review. But sometimes the special review appears not to happen. So people on the cross-check list can just sort of post stuff and it'll either stay up indefinitely or for some period of time rather than being instantly taken down, even if it blatantly violates Facebook rules.
Can you give us an example of how this is played out?
So in 2019, Neymar, who's this international soccer star, was accused of rape by a woman. In response, he posted nude photos of her. For a normal user, that would be considered revenge porn by Facebook, and the content would be taken down and the profile would be deactivated from Facebook or Instagram. But Neymar's post stayed up for more than a day. It was seen by millions and millions of people. And once it was finally taken down, Facebook decided not to deactivate his account. What the document said is that after escalating the case to leadership, we decided to leave Neymar's accounts active, a departure from our usual one-strike profile disable policy. And I think the basic takeaway here is that because Neymar is very, very famous and has a lot of followers, he was allowed to do something that most people would be banned from Facebook for doing.
Do we know why Facebook set up the cross-check system?
You know, Facebook designed it to minimize what the employees call PR fires, which is the negative attention that the media gives Facebook when there are botched enforcement action against famous people. And, you know, the obvious examples are posts by politicians that are not rule-breaking that accidentally get taken down, and then it looks like censorship or it looks like Facebook is favoring one side over the other.
Didn't we know this already? There have been moments over the past several years where social media platforms, not just Facebook, have had to make decisions about whether to keep up posts from politicians based on newsworthiness. Why is this different?
Well, it's been pretty obvious that Facebook treats high-profile politicians' posts different from most people's, and we've seen that a lot over the last couple of years. What we didn't know, what the public didn't know prior to these documents coming out, is that within the company, this is a much bigger source of concern than they let on publicly. But probably more importantly, what we didn't know is that Facebook had misled its own oversight board about the extent to which this system was working, especially the whitelisting system, which is basically a list of people who won't be taken off Facebook or who are allowed to kind of post whatever they want without the same type of consequences as most people. And so in June, Facebook told the oversight board in writing that the system was used for a small number of decisions. But what we can see in the document is it's millions and millions of people are on there. It's many more than a small number of decisions.
You touch on the Facebook oversight board, which it created to help it handle issues of content moderation. So how does this cross-check list and this revelation that there are so many people on it affect how Facebook is going to work with its oversight board, or I guess what the oversight board can and is supposed to do?
Well, it's a really good question. You know, Facebook created the oversight board, and I think one of the real like central issues to the oversight board is that when it asks Facebook questions, that it will receive honest answers and then be able to do oversight. The board can't really oversee Facebook if Facebook is not upfront with what's going on. So I think it does raise a question about Facebook's relationship with its oversight board and whether the oversight board can be effective if it's not getting accurate information from the company.
All right, so what has Facebook's response been to this reporting?
The spokesman said the criticism of the cross-check system is fair, but he said the system's designed for an important reason, to create an additional step so we can accurately enforce policies and content that could require more understanding. Now, I think the more important thing they said, from their perspective, is that a lot of the internal documents we're looking at, they say it's outdated and taken together can create a narrative that glosses over what they see as the most important point, which is that Facebook itself identified the issues with cross-check and has been working to address them. And obviously, that's true in the sense that these documents are in the words of Facebook employees who are pointing out the problems and urging the company to address them. They do seem to be taking some steps, but it's unclear what they've done. And one example is that Facebook had a system for VIP users, including some politicians, were provided what are called a 24-hour self-remediation window if you posted violating content. You had 24 hours to take it down or avoid penalty. And the spokesman said the company phased that out but wouldn't say when. And in fact, it was still in place during the 2020 elections.
All right, so there has been internal conversations then at Facebook about this program. What have staff said about the way CrossCheck works and maybe the future of the program?
Well, there have been a lot of internal discussions, and I think that's something that's important to understand about these documents is that this isn't a bunch of dissident grumblers whining about their annoying employer. These are people whose job it is at Facebook to try to make the platform more fair, to try to root out problems, and to try to find solutions for issues like this. And so their job is to research what's going wrong on the platform, figure out how to fix it. And they are extremely bothered by this.
All right. That's our reporter, Justin Scheck. Thanks for joining us, Justin.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But before we close out the show, we want to give you the opportunity to send us your questions on the upcoming Apple event. On Tuesday, the company is expected to unveil its latest line of iPhones and possibly a new smartwatch. So, are you thinking of upgrading? Do you have any questions on privacy, what to do with your old devices, or are you wondering how this event could affect Apple's competition with other tech giants? Leave us a voicemail at 314-635-0388. We're planning to answer these questions in an upcoming episode. Once again, that number is 314-635-0388. We look forward to hearing from you. And remember, you can always find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.